I want to speak this evening on the words of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3. Matthew 5 verse 3, where we have the words, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the first of several sayings that are known collectively as the Beatitudes. And in these verses, the Lord Jesus is telling us who the people are in this world who are the blessed people. And the first way in which he describes those who are blessed, he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." First of all, just a very brief mention of the word "blessed." It's a word that's not used all that much in today's language. It's a word that was more commonly used in the past than it is used today. And that is in a large degree due to the godlessness of the times in which we live. It's hard to think of another word that is in common use that means the same as "blessed." People do talk about things being a blessing, and the things that would fit into that category would be, for example, when the weather is suitable for what you're wanting to do on a particular occasion. And there is a link in people's minds between being blessed and being happy, but the word "blessed" means much more than happiness. Jesus is not speaking in these verses at the start of Matthew 5 about what people feel like. Rather, he is talking about what God thinks of people. And in these verses, God himself is declaring who the blessed people are. These are the kind of people who are truly receiving the blessing of God. And the description that we have here of those who are truly blessed is quite different from what the world would think of if it was asked, what kind of people are those who are truly blessed? So I want to consider this first description that Jesus has of those who are truly experiencing the blessing of God. And so we think of these words, "the poor in spirit." Blessed are the poor in spirit. Well, these words are very appropriate for the kind of age in which God has placed us. These words are so contrary to the spirit of our age. It's hard even to communicate what they mean, because they run so much contrary to the spirit of our times. We live in days and in an era where the things that are applauded and the things that are celebrated in society are things such as self-advancement, self-promotion, self-marketing, self-confidence, self-advertising. In order to really be someone in today's society, to be one of those people who are known, then you need to know how to put yourself forward. You need to know how to use social media, how to use whatever publicity tools exist to put forward the image of yourself that you want people to have. You need to have the right image, or you're not going to be someone in today's world. You need to retain people's interest, or you will cease to be someone who is of relevance in today's world. You have to change your image, and you have to move with the times so that you're still there as someone who is in touch and who is connected. And that's what occupies the attention of specialists that are employed by people in the media to ensure that they keep on being people who are in the media spotlight. You must always sound as if you have something to say, even if you have absolutely nothing to say at all. Always amazes me. I don't often get to watch Match of the Day, but I saw part of it last night. And they always interview the managers after the football match. Managers never have anything meaningful to say after a football match. It's the same thing year after year after year. Nothing. They have nothing to say, and yet they get interviewed and interviewed and interviewed as if they will have some profound words to speak about what has happened on that piece of grass on that Saturday afternoon or evening or whatever it might be. Well, to really be someone in today's world, in the public eye, you have to be there on a stage where people are going to be seeing you and where you're going to be in their faces. You have to have drive. You have to have ambition. You have to be self-assertive. And you have to be supremely self-confident. You have to believe in yourself. Because if you don't believe in yourself, how can you expect other people to believe in you? Imagine the big boxing contest that took place last weekend. I didn't see it. Imagine if Tyson Fury had just quietly walked into the ring without any show or without any fuss, without any razzmatazz, without any music, without any big announcers build up. People would have wondered, what on earth was he doing? In today's world, people who are in the public eye, they have to make an event out of something that is nothing. A man walking along a bit of ground and climbing into a boxing ring becomes huge, huge entertainment. And footballers, when they score a goal, they've already rehearsed exactly what they're going to do, where they're going to run after they've scored, what routine they're going to go through, and they'll make sure that they will maximize that time when they know the camera is going to be on them. It'll be all about them. And that's the whole mindset. That's the kind of world we live in. We live in a world that really is all image and no substance. And the people who play that game, the people who live by those rules and those values, are they the ones that are blessed of God? Well, that's not what it says here, and that's not what the Lord Jesus taught. Jesus says, I'll tell you who are the people who are really blessed. It's the people who are poor in spirit. It's not the self-obsessed people. It's not the here, look at me people. It's the people who are poor in spirit. Well, what does that mean? That's like a foreign language to many people today. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? Well, think about what it doesn't mean. It's not referring to material poverty. Jesus doesn't say, blessed are the poor. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Poverty is not a blessing. The Bible does not teach that material poverty is a blessing. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, verses 8 and 9, the wisdom of God is this. The writer says, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, On the one hand, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or on the other hand, he says, I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. So it's not material poverty. Also, it needs to be said that it's not some matter of human temperament that our Lord is speaking about here. Everyone has a God-given temperament. Some people are of a naturally quiet disposition, and other people are the opposite. And there are many who fall somewhere in the spectrum in between. But Jesus is not talking about that. There is no one who is naturally born poor in spirit. You don't have little babies who are poor in spirit. You have little self-centered babies that want what they want and nothing else. We are not naturally poor in spirit. It is something that is foreign to us. What does it mean then to be poor in spirit? John Stott puts it like this. He says, to be poor in spirit is to acknowledge our spiritual poverty, indeed our spiritual bankruptcy before God. A person who is poor in spirit realizes that they have no spiritual wealth whatsoever. They're utterly spiritually bankrupt before God. Martin Lloyd-Jones says, poor in spirit means a complete absence of pride, a complete absence of self-assurance and of self-reliance. It means a consciousness that we are nothing in the presence of God. Person who is poor in spirit realizes God is not impressed with me. The Greek word for poor that is used here comes from a verb which means to crouch or cower like a beggar. The poor in spirit are those who realize that they are spiritual beggars. People who realize we have nothing to commend ourselves to God. We have nothing good to publicize about ourselves. We only have stuff to hide. One of the best and clearest illustrations in the scriptures of what this means in practice is in that parable of the Lord Jesus, which we read in Luke chapter 18, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, the two men who go up to the temple to pray. Well, the Pharisee is a man who is absolutely not poor in spirit. There you have a man who is full of himself, a man who can't wait to pray, because he can't wait to tell God how great he is. He can't wait to compare himself to others and to see how well he compares to them. He believes that he is good. He believes that he is deserving. He believes that surely there can be nothing but God's commendation for a man like him. And then Jesus talks about the tax collector, and he is poor in spirit. And we're told how the tax collector, he stands at a distance, can't even raise his eyes to look up to heaven, but he beats his breast and he says, God, have mercy on me. And it's not a sinner, it's the sinner. He sees himself as the sinner. This is what I am. I am the sinner. That's how he sees himself. The other man sees himself as this great man, but the tax collector, sees himself as the sinner. This is a man who is poor in spirit. And Jesus says, it's that man. It's the man who's poor in spirit. He's the one that goes home justified before God, because Jesus says, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and it's he who humbles himself who will be exalted. It is those who are poor in spirit who are truly blessed. And so we have to ask ourselves, are we people who are poor in spirit? What do we actually believe that we deserve from God? Do we believe that we deserve his commendation? Do we think we have earned some credit with him? Or do we believe we deserve nothing good from him at all? Do we believe because we have been church attenders for years, because we don't squander our money on stupid things like other people do? Do we believe that we have earned favor with God? Do we compare ourselves to other people like the man in the parable did, like the Pharisee? We compare ourselves to our neighbors. Do we congratulate ourselves on how we don't do the things that they do? And then also how there are things that we do that they don't do at all. Do you feel that you've really lived what's been a pretty good life, especially by today's standards? And are you confident that because of all the good that you've done, that God will surely overlook those things in which you've fallen short? Well, that's not being poor in spirit. That is self-righteousness. Now, that is a sinful self-confidence. If that's the way you think, well, then you're far from the kingdom of God, and you've not grasped who you really are. The door of heaven is closed and shut and barred and bolted against everyone who thinks that way. People who believe that they're pretty impressive to God are people who are in the darkest of spiritual blackness. They are deceived by the devil. They are not poor in spirit, and they are not blessed of God. The people who are blessed are those whose spirits have been broken. They realize their utter emptiness and their nothingness and their sinfulness, and there is no hope within. Blessed are the poor in spirit, says Jesus. It's not what the world says, but it's what Jesus Christ, the Son of God, says. And he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so we think about those words, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew's gospel was written primarily for Jewish readers, and he normally uses the term kingdom of heaven rather than kingdom of God. The Jews didn't like to use the word or name God. And so kingdom of heaven was a more acceptable term, but it means exactly the same thing. Kingdom of heaven is the same thing as the kingdom of God. But what does this mean? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God. It means something slightly different from what the word kingdom conveys in our day. A word that would convey the sense of it better would be the word kingship. For theirs is the kingship of God. It means that it is in those who are poor in spirit, it is in those people that Christ is reigning. Christ is king where there is poverty of spirit. It is in the lives of those who exhibit this poverty of spirit that the type of king that Jesus Christ is truly seen. When the Lord saves a person, he begins to create within that person and develop within that person his graces. He causes us to think differently, to have different values from what we used to have and from the world around us. When the Lord saves us, there is a new king in our lives. There's a new boss in charge of us. Jesus becomes our king. We become his subjects. The Bible teaches us that our citizenship is in heaven. Philippians 3, verse 20. John Blanchard says that Christians are not children of this world trying to get to heaven, but Christians rather are children of heaven making our way through this world. Jesus says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He doesn't say theirs will be the kingdom of heaven. He is talking about a present reality rather than a future hope. Jesus Christ does reign in the hearts of his saved people even now. Now we are citizens of his kingdom. We are members of God's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus is saying very clearly and powerfully that it is theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't belong to anybody else. It is theirs and theirs alone. There are people who can say many fine-sounding religious things, but if they're not poor in spirit, they are strangers to the kingdom of God. And it doesn't matter what gifts people might have and what things that they can do that other people cannot do. If they are not poor in spirit, then Christ is not reigning in their lives. Blanchard says that everybody who is poor in spirit is in the kingdom of heaven. And nobody is in the kingdom of heaven who is not poor in spirit. How can a person become poor in spirit? How can a person truly come to have Christ as their king and be in charge of their lives? Well, the Lord Jesus taught that we need to be born again. If we want to see God's kingdom, we need a spiritual rebirth. No one ever is born poor in spirit. It is a work of God's grace. It is a work of God's Spirit. It is the Lord himself who makes us poor in spirit. And because he makes us poor in spirit, well, then it's a blessed thing to be poor in spirit. Dr. Lloyd-Jones writes that the way to become poor in spirit is simply to look at God. When we look at God, when we consider the reality of God, what he is like, when we explore his perfections, when we think about all that he is and all the wonders of God himself, the more we think about him and his perfections, the more we will become poor in spirit. And the more we'll think, oh, what am I in comparison to what he is? The more we think about God, the more unimpressed we are with ourselves. And the more we realize how unimpressive we must be to God. The more we grasp what we are really like, the more we become poor in spirit. And so if we are ever to be those whom God declares and considers to be among the blessed people of this world, then we must be, first of all, poor in spirit. Jesus, who should know, says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Blessed are the poor in spirit, because if you see someone that's poor in spirit, that is evidence that Christ is reigning in that person's life. They don't think that they are the good news, but they think that Jesus Christ is the good news. They don't want people to know about them, but they want people to know about him. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Amen.